All right, you've got about 2 more weeks until the first Christmas in December.
Mm-hmm.
My birthday.
Yes.
What'd you get me?
Nothing yet.
Unacceptable. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for November 20th, 2009. This is Mike Minotti, joined by my brother, Ashguy.
Hello.
Hey, it's us. It's cool. We're good. We're the selling points anyways.
That's right.
Screw guests. No, I love our guests.
Yeah, it's kind of my fault. We planned the show in general kind of late this week and didn't really have time to get anybody.
But, we're here. We got a show. We know what to do. We can run this ship. Don't tip the boat. Here we go. Here's what we're doing. Don't rock the boat. That's the saying, generally. We're going to start off with news, which I'm assuming you got.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Then we're going to do the quiz. It'll be a good, fun quiz. I like this quiz.
Okay.
Well, Scott, let's go topical that I like. I like it. We're kind of we're talking about the future, the past, and the present.
Oh, man. We're thinking fourth dimensionally this week.
Exactly. Then after that, we're going to talk about weekend gaming. I know I got new Super Mario Bros. I know you did, too. I feel kind of bad, though, because I didn't get the two big releases yet, because we're getting to a point where I need to just wait for my birthday now. But you got Assassin's Creed 2, right?
I did get Assassin's Creed 2.
Okay, so you can talk about
that. I was going to wait for Christmas, but Assassin's Creed 2 is here, and that's good.
Right. I don't think anyone would want to hear me talk about Assassin's Creed, Left 4 Dead 2 now. I think I've been labeled a hater. But, anyways, after that, we'll talk about the releases and stuff, and that'll be the show. So why don't we get to the nitty-gritty of it.
All right, so 1 million Xboxes have been banned for modding and illegal piracy.
Ooh,
and of course, you think if you mod your system, you wouldn't go on Xbox Live.
Yeah,
but no. And of course, there's a BBC article that sympathizes with some young boy who was banned. He's talking about how he pirates games and does it to save money, and he's like, "Oh, I save £200 a year. I do."
Well, I can kind of understand, poor kids, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know that this is wrong. And it's so easy to do these days, though. But I'm not saying you shouldn't be banned.
Yeah. Well, then, there's, some of the people who've been banned are putting together a class action lawsuit.
Oh, nice.
how dare you penalize us for stealing? And, of course, their argument is that Microsoft planned the banning between the releases of ODST and Modern Warfare 2 so that they could get their money and then ban them.
Ooh.
Well, they had to get your money somehow. You weren't paying for games.
Yeah, if they were pirating games, wouldn't that mean they didn't get their money? Did they just steal them? I don't know. Maybe not.
Well, for the Xbox Live subscriptions.
See, that's why game pirates should go back to the old methods, man. They should literally go steal games, not online.
Yeah, break in the stores. Well, that's been happening a lot, too.
Right, like that guy who stole 100 copies of Modern Warfare 2. That's the way you do it.
Yeah, that's the man's piracy.
Right, they can't know then.
We also have warnings to issue. If you're buying a used Xbox on eBay or Craigslist, just be careful, because if the console was banned and then you buy it used, it's still banned, and there's nothing Microsoft can do about that. So.
Right. I feel like, at this point, these systems are cheap enough.
Yeah, just
spend another week, save some more money.
Seriously, right?
Right.
So let's dissect some Activision quotes.
Are they exploiting more franchises?
They're looking at online monetization models for Call of Duty. This gem comes from Activision CFO Thomas Tipple. It's definitely an aspiration that we see potential in, particularly as we look at different business models to monetize the online gameplay. I think it's been mutually beneficial, and you should expect us to test and ultimately launch additional online monetization models of some of our biggest franchises like Call of Duty. Okay,
what do they mean?
Whatever. That's fine. He makes it sound like it, because this was in response to how are you liking basically the money you get every month from World of Warcraft? Which worries me. If they want to make a Call of Duty MMO, that's fine. But I worry they're going to, monetize basic online play, which is a huge no-no. And I really hope they're not that dumb. But the best
are you talking about, a subscription fee to play Modern Warfare 2 online?
Yeah, I'm worried. I don't think that's what he's talking about. But the thing is, it's Activision. So you have to worry about it a little bit.
Right.
Of course, the great thing is the last quote here. There's demand from the core gamers to pay up for that. He makes it sound like we're saying,
what does that
we
mean?
Want to give you money.
That's just a lie. I don't think anyone's demanding that. Demanding? That's a pretty strong word for something as ludicrous as I demand to pay more money.
Yeah.
I'm demanding.
This little dream world. You know this.
They're
how,
cocky. They're gonna. They'll be down someday. They're way too cocky about being so high right now. They're not. It's not gonna last. Okay. Modern warfare is gonna go the. It's gonna go the Medal of Honor route eventually. Give it a few years. Mm. WoW will simmer, and then all of a sudden, Activision won't be so sweet anymore. Guitar Hero is already going out of the way. They lost Tony Hawk pretty much, unless Riot saves them.
Yeah, I was going to say, did you notice how there aren't any Tony Hawk reviews out yet?
There aren't any commercials. We'll talk about that later, because that's a talking point for
okay.
Let's Go Topical.
Okay,
but
I'll save that then.
Yeah, that's a whole... That's like a microcosm of their current situation. Tony Hawk Ride.
So I love this. One of the guys over at Edgy Gamer sent an email to Activision Tech Support to alert them of a glitch in Act 1 Mission 4 of Call of Duty. Here's what he said in the email. Every time I get to Act 1 Mission 4, the game appears to load fine at first, but then when I encounter the enemies, I discover that nearly all of them are rendered without weapons. They aren't even programmed to melee me either. There's a small number of baddies with guns, but it's not until the end of the mission that most of them have weapons. If you're not paying attention, Act 1 Mission 4 is the No Russian level.
I was about to say.
Mowing down civilians in an airport. Activision responds, this does not appear to be a known issue with the game. Does this occur for you when playing on a different Xbox 360 as well? Make sure your Xbox 360 console's in a well-ventilated area to prevent overheating.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I like how they didn't know
what
he was talking about. That's a real crack squad they got there working on these issues. They got, like, the same three... That's always the response. Are there any other 360s messing stuff with their 360 beams? You can't let those things cross each other.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Oh, my God.
So, yeah.
I still haven't played that campaign yet.
Oh, you should. It is good.
I want to be Dragon Age first, though. I'm working on it.
Well, I'll use that as a segue. BioWare has announced more Dragon Age DLC. It's the Return to Ostagard. It's $5 and it's coming out around the holidays.
I still don't know how much I like these DLC things on Western RPGs. Like, you know how much I liked Fallout 3, but I pretty much largely skipped out of all the DLC.
See, I liked all the DLC.
I know,
when I saw this headline, I was excited. You know, what can I say? I like this game.
I know, I like the game too, but it's just, especially with so many games out these days, and these games already being long enough, I feel like when I beat them, I'm cool. I'm ready to move on. Now that the DLC that came with Shale, the character, I feel like you should do that because, you know, it's free if you bought the game, and Shale is an awesome character. But I don't know. Sometimes I just. But my other thing so far it seems like there aren't really very many substantial side quests in Dragon Age. It seems like you have to pay for pretty much all of them.
I wouldn't say that.
Really? There certainly aren't any side quests that are like go to a dungeon.
Yeah, they're all kind of along the way kind of things.
Right, that's what I'm saying. There's nothing big and optional, is my point, unless you buy it.
Well, like the
And typically I kind of expect those things.
The Andraste's Ashes was kind of a side quest.
What are you talking about that was a side quest? How?
Did you have to go do that?
Yeah.
I feel like the option came up to just be like, oh, shoot.
I'm pretty sure that's one of those... Come on, that place was huge. I'm pretty sure that...
True.
I'm pretty sure that... If you had said, I don't want to save you, they would have talked you into it.
For the record, though, that was a sweet quest.
No, it was pretty cool.
Yes. Okay, moving on. PlayStation 3 firmware 3.10 has been released this week, adding Facebook functionality to the PS3. The Xbox Live dashboard update went live this week, adding Facebook functionality to the 360.
Oh,
along
boy.
With the Twitter and LastFM and Zune Marketplace stuff. So, guess what? We could all Facebook from our consoles now. Huzzah, huzzah.
I'll continue to choose not to.
There was also a PSP firmware update released that adds playlist support from the PS3 and Media Go and laid the groundwork for their comic book reader that comes out next month.
Okie doke. Yeah, I actually downloaded that last night when I turned on my PSP.
Exciting. Some sad news. Pandemic has been shut down by EA.
Pandemic.
The Saboteur will be coming out beginning of next month, and then that's it. Curiously, I read a quote from one Pandemic employee who really doesn't blame EA for this, instead saying that basically they deserve to be shut down because Pandemic's management sucked the last few years.
The fact that they weren't able to turn in their Dark Knight game.
Yeah, that's what really killed
them. The fact that they weren't able to capitalize on what has been the most popular movie in the last decade.
Yeah.
Yeah, that hurts.
That's a bad thing to do.
Right.
But the same guy also said, like, Saboteur is probably the best game Pandemic's made, so we'll, you know, I'll see about that. He also feels EA put it out to die by releasing it in the first week of December.
Pretty much.
All right, let's
We've been hearing that a lot lately, though. This game's been sent out to die.
Yeah, well, I mean,
they said that about Borderlands. Borderlands
is
fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, this might be a good thing for them. Who knows? Okay, so if I don't mention this, a couple people in the squad will kill me. Atlus is publishing 3D.GameHeroes in North America.
I just watched the adorable trailer for this right before we started.
Yeah, I saw the link for it. I haven't gotten to watch it yet, but I'm excited. I think this game looks really cool. It's amazing how it manages to actually look like actual stop motion.
Right.
It's very impressive.
It is. It'll be interesting to actually play. What's it coming out for?
PS3, I think.
Cool.
God bless you.
Yeah. Oh, you still heard that? I thought I had my mic off.
You must have the other mic turned on.
I guess so. Yeah, it's a very weird-looking wave on my... Anyways.
Anyway, speaking of PS3 Japanese games, Sega is considering patching Bayonetta on the PS3 to fix the apparently very long load times, where it takes 3 seconds to pick up an item. Which, in a fast-paced action game, that sounds bad.
Right.
It's like 5 seconds for a menu, 25 seconds for a level, and apparently these problems are not on the 360 version, so...
I'll just get the 360 version, if I get it, which
yeah,
I don't know.
Not going to.
AJ, it's a perfect game, right? Or was it a 39? What if Famitsu gave it... No, they gave it a 40, didn't they?
Yeah, they gave it a 40, and that's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you haven't played it.
Yes, I have. I played the PS3 demo.
Oh, right. Well, that's the PS3 demo. They didn't give that a 40.
It's your typical flashy PS3 action game where every additional move is extraneous, and you could beat it by just mashing the square button.
People say that about Kingdom Hearts, and I get mad.
Yeah.
You probably think
sure
it's true.
Some Bayonetta fan out there who gets mad at me too for saying that.
I don't know how many Bayonetta fans, how many there are yet.
Also, there were some articles where some guy like redrew Bayonetta but with like correct body proportions.
Okay. Because
like if you look at it, like, I forget the exact math here, but like the human body is supposed to be like so many heads high. Let's just say for the sake of argument, 6, and Bayonetta is something like 12 heads high. Because her head's too small.
Right. I feel like we've had this conversation on this show about Bayonetta's head.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Phoenix Wright is headed to the WiiWare. Do you object?
You know, hey, if you don't have a DS, you need to play Phoenix Wright. I mean, I feel bad that you won't be able to scream objection. I guess you can fling your Wiimote if you want to present evidence, which is okay, I guess.
That's exciting. You could point with the Wiimote.
Yeah.
Just fling, yeah.
But, you know, hey, it's so... I guess they're releasing the first three games and then the extra mission that came with the first Phoenix Wright when it was... Because, you know, those were all originally GBA games.
Right.
And the first mission that was on the DS Phoenix Wright. Like, they added that mission. You can download that separately.
I think these are points of the ports of the PC version.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, No More Heroes is being ported to the 360 and PS3.
Now, the first one?
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Maybe we'll find an audience there.
I don't know. It's, at this point, it's kind of an old game.
Yeah. I hope it's, like, budget priced. I might check it out then. I don't know. It's still, like... When I watched the videos of that game, and I saw the coconut collecting minigame, and I'm like, why? Why does this need to be in here?
Because I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. A twiddly-dee. Okay, anyways.
Okay. So you ever get that sense now that the PSP goes out, Sony, like, doesn't care about it?
I do when they don't release their big first-party games on it on launch
like
date.
Like Little Big Planet.
Which, by the way, is that out?
Yeah, it's out.
Oh.
And they're saying it's not on the PSN due to a technical limitation. Well, you might want to figure that out quickly.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe it'll come out today. The releases aren't up yet as of recording time.
It better. It just
cracks me up. Like, there's no incentive to buy a PSP Go. I know we've beaten this horse before, but even, like, post-launch... You wouldn't expect that Sony could get their first-party games day and date out there.
I don't know. We're going to be talking about the PSP Go a bit more, and let's go topical, too. So.
Oh, exciting. Okay, good.
You'll get to bash on it more, I'm sure.
Some good news from Sony is that they've confirmed that all PS3 models will be firmware upgradable to do stereoscopic 3D once that technology becomes more prevalent in 2010.
It'll be interesting to see if that becomes a factor in video games.
I mean, the problem is going to be the fact that you need to buy a new TV.
Right, but that was the problem with HD graphics, wasn't it?
Well, true, and now even still some people say that penetration is not where it should be. It's better. Let's just even assume then too that it follows a similar curve. It's going to be at least 3 years before most people have a 3D TV.
Yeah, it'll be a while. But I think someday we will be playing our games in 3D and not even thinking about it and thinking about how weird it was the games were in 3D.
That's true. I look forward to it. I mean, I'm a fan of 3D anything.
Right.
And I understand playing Avatar in 3D is really cool.
Now, how does that work?
It's just like, it's kind of like IMAX 3D, where, it's actually alternating the frames, but it's so fast, you know, I can't see, and the glasses have electronic shutters that synchronize with the device. So, the TV itself has to wirelessly send a signal to the shutter glasses.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's cool, though. You know, I mean, it works. So,
okay.
You know, bring it on. Where'd I go? Okay, we did the Dragon Age. So, Dark Void is already being adapted to a movie, and it's being done by Brad Pitt's production company, so he might be playing the starring role.
Like, why would you be so eager to buy the rights of a video game? New IP that isn't even out yet.
Well, it's basically like a modern Rocketeer.
Make Rocketeer, damn it. Rocketeer's sweet. Brad Pitt would make a good Rocketeer, too.
I am excited for this game.
Yeah, me too, but come on. Like, this is I remember when someone bought the Kane and Lynch movie rights before the game even came out.
Yeah.
And who's going to go see a Kane and Lynch movie.
I feel like that could be a better movie than game.
Yeah, sure, but like they're not going to be able to market the Kane and Lynch movie as it's based off that awesome video game you guys all played. They're basically going to have to market it as its own thing entirely.
Yeah.
So I guess the only benefit here is if you can't think of an idea, here's some idea that somebody else already used for a video game. You can use it to make a movie with it. They're essentially buying ideas. They're not buying the property because there's no money attached to it yet.
Maybe Brad Pitt played the game and really likes it.
Maybe nothing will happen to this. Leonardo DiCaprio has his own production company. He was going to make all those anime movies, and I think they all fell through. He was going to make the live-action version of Akira, which I'm sure was going to be absolutely terrible.
Our final news story. The BioShock 2 Special Edition has been announced. Very cool, $99.99. You get Bioshock 2, a vinyl LP featuring the orchestral score from the first game, a CD Ooh. Containing Bioshock 2's orchestral score,
Ooh.
A 164-page 8x11 hardbound art book with developer commentary, and 3 posters featuring vintage ads from Rapture.
Ooh, those posters kind of sound sweet.
Yeah, it does look kind of nice.
I might. I'm not always a special edition kind of guy, but I'm a fan of Bioshock.
It is $10 cheaper on PC. If you want to go for the PC version of the game. And yeah, that's the news. Unless there's anything I forgot that you want to bring up.
No. Maybe you should bring up that one Atlus game. The one Shin Megami game that's coming out. That Sorg I got mad you didn't bring up before.
Oh, I forget what
Strange
it was.
Strange Journey that's for the DS. It's coming out in America. So don't be mad anymore, Sorg guy.
Yes.
Alright. Alright, glad we saw that. I still want that Persona 3 port for the PSP. I would be all into that. I still need to beat Persona 4. I have a lot to do. Shit. Anyways, let's go to the quiz.
Okay.
I gotta beat... What's that beat? Dragon Age. I still have to play Brutal Legend, Call of Duty. I still want... Oh, my God.
I haven't beat ODST.
I haven't beaten Ghostbusters or Batman yet. I want to beat Batman.
You haven't beaten Batman?
I know.
Oh!
I know, and I need to beat it because I have to talk... You know, I have to think Game of the Year... It's coming
up.
Oh,
yeah.
All right. Let's do the quiz. All right. First question, AJ. Mm-hmm. I want you to hum or otherwise sing the vampire killer theme from Castlevania.
Can't do it.
Oh, this is like the famous Castlevania theme.
I don't know it.
It's, you know, da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. No?
No. I know it, but I didn't know it off the top of my head. I didn't play a lot of the old 8-bit Castlevanias. You know this.
I know. Neither did I. That's why I had to go back and do it at one point in my life and realize what we missed.
Yeah.
All right, second question. In Assassin's Creed, what was Desmond's job before being captured by Abstergo?
Oh, he's a bartender.
Correct. Question 3. In what year was Obsidian Entertainment formed?
They were the Black Isle guys. So that might have been 2002?
2003.
Ah, man!
Question 4, what was their first game?
Their first game, as I recall, I want to say it was Knights of the Republic 2.
Correct.
Sweet.
All right. Question 5. In Japan, every Mega Man title has a subtitle. For example, Mega Man 7 is Rockman 7, A Destined Confrontation, loosely translated. So the question is, what is Rockman 9's subtitle, loosely translated?
I didn't even know they had subtitles. I don't know. The Return?
The Revival of Ambition.
I was somewhat close.
Yeah, surprisingly. Okay, bonus question. How many exclamation marks are in that title?
3.
2.
Damn it.
The Revival... I'm sure George would have fun.
The Revival... Wait, what's it called again? The
Revival of Ambition.
The Revival of Ambition.
You kind of got French there a little bit at the end.
Ambition.
It's kind of like... Ah. It's like if Iron Chef French...
Yeah.
Sakai was going at it, yeah. Yeah. All right. So, I think you got 2.
2.
I can't believe you don't know the vampire. I need to send you the only good thing to come out of Castlevania Judgment was they actually have some pretty sweet like remixes or new versions of all the songs from the game. Yeah, and their version of Vampire Killer was pretty sweet, I have to say.
Okay.
So everyone check that out. Anyways, let's go talk.
You just sent me.
That's the song I was talking about.
Oh, okay, very good.
Let's go topical.
Okay.
All right. Here's my first question. Well, it's not really a question. It's a statement I want you to agree or disagree with. You know how it is.
Okay.
Okay. A next-gen console will be announced in 2010.
Disagree.
No?
No, wait. Okay, theoretically, if there's going to be a Wii HD announcement in 2010, would you consider that a next-gen console announcement? Let me put it this way.
If there's a Wii, if it's a Wii that plays games that this Wii can't play, then that's a next-gen console.
I think they're going to do a completely backwards compatible Wii that can support HD gaming from that point on.
Okay. You think it's going to be announced next year?
I think that's the only thing that might be... I don't know if... You know what, actually? They would probably announce that at E3 2011 and release it that holiday. So I guess no. No, nothing's going to be announced.
You think they would really only announce that like 6 months before it comes out?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
We'll see. So how much longer are we going to have to wait, you think, for next Xbox, next PS3?
A lot of it's going to depend on how all this new motion crap they're all doing does.
Yeah, it seems like they're kind of...
If they feel like they can get a good second wind out of it, because they're both talking about how they want to treat these as platform launches. If that's the case, it may not be till 2013 we get an announcement for a 2014 release.
It's very crazy when you think about... I think the 360 is about... as old as the Xbox was when the 360 was released.
We're coming up on its birthday, because remember, it was Thanksgiving week when it came out last, the in 2000.
Right, and this will be the fourth year, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
Good.
Who's talking to you?
In my computer. My what virus database has been updated.
Oh, I thought there was someone there. Anyways, okay, how about this then? The true successor to the DS will be announced in 2010.
Possible. We're starting to get a lot of rumors about that. They were talking about the NVIDIA Tegra 2 chip, which would power it, which is the next generation of the graphics chip that powers the Zune HD, which would actually make it a fairly powerful system. I feel like that's possible. I feel like it might get announced 2010. I don't know how long it'd take to come out, though. It's possible we could get like an E3 2010 announcement for a March release. So that seems to be when they do a lot of DS hardware releases, or like in the spring.
Mm-hmm. I think they're at a point where there's plenty of new things to do with a portable gaming device. Mm-hmm. Maybe Nintendo can try to do some of the things that the PSP is doing, but maybe better. There's a lot to do with the whole internet thing these days. I don't think even the DSi is really seizing so much.
Right.
I feel like the DSi in a lot of ways is sort of a test for stuff they want to do with the next DS.
Well, you know what's one thing that both the DS and the PSP do to drive me nuts? Is it's constantly opening and closing your Wi-Fi connection so that, like, you have to keep reconnecting every time you switch to a different application. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you go from the web browser to the RSS reader in the PSP, you have to, like, reconnect to your Wi-Fi network. Like, why can't it just stay connected like an iPhone does?
Right.
That's one thing I hope they get right. And just have a switch. You can turn it off or on. I mean, the PSP does have a switch. I don't know what that's there for, since it's pretty clear when you're connecting.
I guess it's just to make sure you don't connect if you don't want to. I don't know.
Well, you have to pick it. Never mind.
I mean, the DS came out in what, 2004?
Yeah.
So it's getting a little old. I mean,
yeah.
It's been through a lot of. It's been getting a lot of second and third wins, I guess, mm-hmm. through all of those re-releases and updates and what have you. I mean, I guess I feel like it should be coming, but the DSi still isn't even all that old yet. But
right.
I don't know. But
well, my prediction is that like when the XL comes out, it's not going to do like gangbuster numbers like the DSi did, and that's going to like cause Nintendo to be like, oh no, and that'll get them going on like a new one.
Oh, they gotta be. I think they gotta be going on it already.
I'm sure they're going now, but I think this will prompt them to announce it a little sooner.
Okay. What do you think? You think it'll still look very much like a DS? You think it'll have the word DS in the title? You think the DS is now a brand stronger than the Game Boy brand was?
I think so.
Okay. DS2 or
something
DS.
Like that, yeah.
Yeah, they'll just still have two screens. Still have a touch screen.
Maybe both of them will be touch screens now.
Eh, it's unnecessary. But maybe.
Why not?
Eh. Alright, next question. A new PSP Go with a UMD drive will be released in 2010.
Never. No way.
But don't you think that's the main problem with that thing? As a, just a redesigned PSP, it's kind of nice, right?
Well, I actually got a chance to sort of hold one at Best Buy last week. It was kind
of
all clamped down and everything. I don't think there's enough room for a UMD drive in it. I mean, the rumor is they'll do a PSP 4000. I think they'll keep doing that, but it's not.
Do you think
that
PSP 4000 will look like a Go?
I don't think so. I think it'll continue just looking like the 3000s.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you think there's no chance?
I think like the 4000 might get some of the things like the Bluetooth that the PSP Go has, and maybe even the memory. But
it'll be that side screen sort of thing?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know. I think there's a chance.
I think I'd like that. In fact, I really think I'd like that. I just don't think it would happen.
I just don't know about the PSP. Like, I feel like it's not being reported, but when I look at the numbers, it looks like the PSP Go is failing, right?
It has to be. Like, there was no sales jump at all in October.
I mean, they're not releasing big first-party games like Day and Day with the retail releases on their online store for it. I mean, imagine if you had a PSP Go and, like, you know, Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker came out, and you're a big Metal Gear fan. You know, if you had, you know, a UMD drive, you would be at the midnight launch or whatever, and you were waiting to download the game, it just didn't show up.
What's also really dumb, too, is that, I mean, pretty much all new game releases occur on Tuesdays, but the store doesn't update till Thursdays. So, like, it's actually, they really can't even have day and date releases.
Right. It's, I don't know. I've always said I wasn't going to be a fan of this thing.
I like the general features of the PSP Go. I like the form. I like the Bluetooth stuff in it. One thing that they don't talk about is that you could Bluetooth it to a phone and use your phone's connection if there's not Wi-Fi around. But they don't talk about any of that.
Does the lukewarm reception of the PSP Go maybe make you think that digital distribution is not so immediately in the future as you think, or do you just blame this completely on Sony handling it poorly?
Yeah, I think Sony just fucked it up.
Okay, but don't you think there's maybe not... There clearly isn't that much enthusiasm in the market for something like this.
Well,
You have to admit, come on.
I feel like they killed the enthusiasm, because you're asking people to... Again, it's the old argument. You're asking people to buy a more expensive system that can't play their existing games, that Sony's encouraging them to rebuy. Like, if this was PSP2, completely different platform, it might have worked, you know? But I don't feel like it was correct to introduce it midway through the cycle of a system. I think they should have saved the big digital distribution push for their next thing.
But, they're still just too terrified to have a system that... to have a platform that only has a digital distribution option.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I think they need to get over that, or else it's never going to work.
I guess. But see, I can understand why they don't want to get over that, because I don't think it would work. I don't think it would work anyway. That's my philosophy, is that the PSP Go... See, a lot of people still like the philosophy of the PSP Go. I thought it was doomed from the beginning. I do not believe that you can just have complete digital distribution right now. That's not going
to
fly.
One thing that console stores need to learn, I think, from Steam, is you notice how Steam will do these, like...
weird random sales, like how they were selling Team Fortress 2 for $250, but only for like an hour, and they didn't announce it.
Right.
Valve issued a statement about that this week, where they talked about, first of all, you can get away with dropping a price and putting it back up online because there's a different expectation there, and it doesn't hurt sales at all. In fact, the following weekend, sales of TF2 went up after that at the regular price. And I feel like the console manufacturers, they don't do anything like that. The fact is, most of the digitally distributed stuff on Xbox and PS3 and PSP, if it's also a retail product, you can almost always find it cheaper at retail. Which, you know, goes against everything that we thought digital distribution was going to be, with like cheaper production costs, no shipping, all of that. I mean, at best you get the deal of the week on Xbox Live, which is usually something really old that I either don't care about or don't or already own. That's half off. They need
Ray,
to do stuff
bucks.
Like this. Yeah, they need to do crazy things like that, where maybe for just an hour you sell Puzzle Quest for like $1. Something nuts like that. That's what's going to get people to try
this. Just get people on the store.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, for some reason, I just went on the PSN store yesterday for, like, the first time maybe ever. And, you know, I saw some things I would like to have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I still just don't buy this. The digital distribution thing. All right, next question. Despite Modern Warfare 2's critical success, Uncharted 2 will still take home most of the Game of the Year honors for 2009.
I think it will, actually. I feel like the No Russian level is kind of dividing people. People also feel like for everything the single-player campaign of the game does really well, there's things it does really poorly. You hear a lot of people talk about, and I forget the name of the mission, but it's this mission, I think it's the one right after No Russian, where you're trying to find this guy in Rio de Janeiro. I honestly didn't have too much of a problem with the level. I thought it wasn't that great, but some people really hate this level. They cite it as an example of everything you could possibly do wrong in a first-person shooter.
Really?
Yeah, it's just...
Escort mission?
No, it's a chase mission where you're not really chasing the guy.
Oh, it's a chase mission with, like, choke points and like, the sort of invisible triggers.
Yeah, well, there was actually a part where I thought this was, oh, okay, they want me to start chasing him, and there was, like, this really hokey little quasi-invisible wall that was between me and where he went, and I was like, oh, I'm not actually supposed to chase him, I'm supposed to go around and cut him off, and then it just had a lot of really weird enemy spawns that were positioned in such a way that they were completely around you. There was, like, nowhere to take cover, and really, the level was kind of arranged like a light gun game. The same bad guys popped out from the same spot, no matter where you, like what timing you went through it, and the second you exposed yourself, they, like, saw you. They knew where you were all the time. So it was really kind of artificial feeling. People really didn't like that level. And then you hear, like, a lot of the complaints of online on the PC version, people getting banned because they bought their CD keys from key distributors, and Valve's claiming that those are illegally obtained keys. The whole thing with dedicated
technically
servers,
those aren't illegal, right?
Yeah, that's a whole other issue. You have people complaining about the dedicated servers. I saw one of the reviews was saying, like, don't get the PC version, get the console versions, because it's just broken. I think people would like the multiplayer, though. I heard Spec Ops is great. I haven't gotten to try it yet. But I feel like the single player is actually going to give it that, like, the little bit of a detraction that Uncharted 2 needs to come out on top.
See, that's the first... I'm not having played it. I assumed that the single player was going to be pretty good. That's
it
what
is.
I like about Modern Warfare.
That's the thing. It is good. It is really good. For the really good moments. Like I said, for everything it does really awesome, it does something really boneheaded.
Really?
I mean, you have things like the snowmobile chase is excellent. That level I was just talking about, the end of the level, is a really great kind of sequence where you lose your gun and you have to run. That was one of the best parts of the game. There's still, like some of the levels that take place on American soil, whereas you had civilians in the foreign levels, there aren't any there. And it just kind of feels...
It's like, oh, well, I can kill foreign civilians, but heavens forbid we kill an American.
Exactly. And it just kind of makes those levels not feel as impactful as they could have.
I also heard some people say that, whereas Modern Warfare may have been seen as kind of a pretty... You know, a slightly more realistic take on a first-person shooter, this game is not as realistic. Like, there's nothing like that sniping moment in the first Modern Warfare where you have to, like, where you have to snipe and you have to think about the Coriolis effect and wind and all that stuff.
Hmm. I don't know how much
that's
I agree
a, that's
with
just
that.
Hearsay. You don't you wouldn't you wouldn't agree with that?
Not really.
You would still say it's probably it's like, you know, I'm sure it's a more realistic alternative to something like Halo.
Right. And plus, I mean, what it, also something that comes down to too is the storytelling in Uncharted is just far better. Like the general consensus of everyone I've talked to who's beaten the game is they beat the game and the first thing they do is go on Wikipedia to read the plot synopsis so they can figure out what the hell just happened.
Yeah, I heard that some people are getting confused.
The problem is that the story's pace moves too quickly, which is not a complaint you hear too often in a video game. But like, a lot of the exposition happens in the loading screens, so they kind of rush through them. You know what I mean? Like, they talk fast, and they leave out some details, and it's just a little confusing. And I mean, Uncharted 2 is just so freaking good. I mean, I honestly can't find anything wrong with that game.
Well, there were VGA Award nominees announced, and Uncharted 2 had the most nominations with, like, something like 9, I think, and then I think like something was right below that. I think maybe Batman. No, I can't really quite remember. But Uncharted 2 had the most, and you know, Modern Warfare 2 obviously had a lot as well. Mm-hmm. Do you think anything? Well, is there anything else you think that's in that's going to be in the picture really besides Uncharted 2 and Modern Warfare 2 that really has a chance to win it?
I mean, Batman does.
You think you think Batman really has a chance of like game of the year from anyone?
It could. A lot of people have said as much.
Hmm. Anything else? Maybe Left 4 Dead 2 is getting reviewed well.
Maybe, but I don't know.
Assassin's Creed 2 is getting reviewed well.
It is that it is getting accolades, but I just don't see it topping either of those. I don't see anything really topping either of those two games.
Okay. We always kind of had a feeling those were going to be the two.
Yeah.
Big releases. All right, here's my next question, then. Tony Hawk Ride is doomed to fail.
Oh, God, yes. The only hope they have is hitting younger Wii players, which seems to be what they're kind of going for. They had, like, well, like I said, they didn't send out review copies to anybody.
Never a good sign.
Their reason for that was that they needed those products for the retail channel. Like, you can't spare 40 copies of the game.
That's
seriously interesting. Yeah. And, well, what they did was they had a family event in San Francisco. It was a three-hour event where they invited reviewers to come review the game.
That's a great way to review a game.
Yeah, and if that's not 3 hours of you playing the game. That's a three-hour event where part of the event is you get to play the game for a little bit.
So that's
just,
terrible.
If you see any reviews for the next couple days, don't believe them. But one of the guys from Bitmob, and I forget who it was, went to the event. He said it was very clear when you go to this event, they had all these Wiis set up with little kids playing the game. And they seemed to be enjoying themselves. In the back, in a room labeled media only, were like a few Xbox 360s with the game running. So this is not made for the old school Tony Hawk fans. They've moved on to skate, honestly. Like, honestly, they're going for kids who think it's neat. But everything I've read about, like, impressions of the game from people, it's just, it's not fun, because, you know, the Painter K guys were talking about it. I don't, like they're saying, I don't want a game that emulates riding a skateboard, because I can't ride a skateboard, that's why I'm playing a video game. And they said, I guess Gabe, like, actually fell off it and hurt himself.
He said,
this is pretty much what happened the one time we did try to ride a skateboard, so as an emulation of the sport, it seems spot on.
Right. I feel like if you're doing something this kind of bold, you need to market the shit out of it. And maybe I'm watching the wrong channels, but I have not seen a commercial.
Right.
The game's out, right?
Yeah.
That shocks
me.
Tuesday. That shocks me.
I see this video online. It's like Tony Hawk demonstrating. Yeah, well, friggin' duh. Tony Hawk can ride his skateboard. I'm watching him, like, bouncing on this thing like he's doing a manual. I'm like, well, I can't do that.
I don't think they don't understand that for an average person, bending over is not a fun activity.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know what? I mean, it's a little sad for me because I really like those old Tony Hawk games.
Yeah, you know what would be the best way for Activision to make money off that franchise? Put Tony Hawk 2 on XBLA and PSN.
Yeah, honestly.
That would generate more revenue than Tony Hawk Ride.
Or 3. I like 3. Mm. But, yeah, just the endless grinds and manuals and super combos. I don't know what to think about Tony Hawk Ride. It just doesn't seem... I do not see good things. And apparently, you know, people are getting sick of these kind of super peripheral games. Apparently, DJ Hero's not doing that great.
Shocker there. I mean, same thing.
But at least they advertise that game. We all saw the commercial, at least. Which, you know, if I was going to make a DJ game, I may not have tried to have made such a polarizing commercial showing. I don't know. It's just I feel like when you put, if you're gonna put rap so prominently in a commercial, you're immediately gonna disinterest about 50% of your audience.
While we're on DJ Hero, another problem I decided to have with that game. The core of DJing is the fact that you take two separate songs and you yourself on the fly mix them together to create a new track. But there, none of that is present in the game. You know, it's the same track every time.
Well,
so it feels a little inorganic. Because I played it again at the store with that kind of mindset to it. And when I was thinking about that, and I realized this is kind of my own fault for kind of breaking the system. But when I was doing it with that mindset, I was like, well, you know what? Like, I wish I could somehow be able to mix these songs together my own way, you know?
Okay, but for me, I kind of like the game because it seems more like an old-school music game in a way.
It is.
I like that there's tracks that are made for a music game. And I understand as a DJ simulation, it's not that great. And I'm sure that part of the reason why it's not the next Guitar Hero is that not nearly as many people fantasize about being a DJ as I do being a rock star.
Well, like an article I read, too, talk about how, like, when you go to a club where there's, like, a DJ like this mixing songs, it's not like they're on a stage and you're watching them. They're usually up in some kind of, like, balcony where you can't even see them, and they're kind of invisible.
Right, unless they're, like, those big celebrity DJs.
Yeah. But it's not, like, the show is not about the DJ. It's about the music.
I still want it.
I know you do.
I still think it's kind of... I've been playing it more and more Best Buy. I'm getting the feel for it.
I do just really like that grapevine feel-good track.
Right, and that's the first... I feel like the song list does look good.
Yeah.
I still want it. Is that version they have at Best Buy, is that like the super awesome edition?
Yeah.
So otherwise you don't get that stand?
Right, you just get the turntable and kind of sits on your lap.
Yeah, I might need that stand. Anyways, okay, that's it for Let's Go Topical.
All right.
Good stuff. Anyways, let's talk about Mario first, I guess, as that came out first, right?
Okay.
But I've been playing Mario.
Me too.
You too? First off, I like that while, you know, obviously it works very well with multiple players and stuff, it's not designed to be... like a co-op game in a way. Like there's never the obvious like you stand on that switch to lower this bridge over here for me.
Right.
They don't have to change the game when you go to single player.
Right. I mean it's like if you compress time between Super Mario World for the Super Nintendo and now, it's like that. Like this is just the next Mario they made.
Right. Yeah. If there was like a real Super Mario World 2, I imagine it would have looked very much like this without the, you know, 3D polygons.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you think of just the game itself as it is?
So, yeah, like, obviously I started with single player and I'm playing it. I'm like, oh my god, this is amazing. Like, I feel like I'm holding an NES controller playing a sequel to Super Mario 3 right now, and it's awesome. The Koopa Kids are back, the crazy power-ups are back. You know, but Yoshi's in the game now, and he doesn't suck. Except that it does kind of suck that you can't take him from level to level.
He's not in it very much. I mean, I'm in world like 5. I think there's been 2 levels with him so far.
Yeah, but at least like
so
he
used sparingly.
He makes the old school sounds. He doesn't talk like
right.
a
There's
weird
a lot of
baby
old school
thing.
Sound effects, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And you know, I like that this game is like Super Mario, New Super Mario Brothers for the DS. It was kind of a cakewalk. It was sort of like.
Yeah.
It was like little brother's Mario game. It wasn't very hard, but this game it's much more interesting platforming wise.
Yeah,
much more challenging, a lot more Super Mario World esque levels where there's not really even a bottom and you're just kind of jumping on things that are moving, which I like.
Right.
Like I said before that I thought this game was it just looked like it was taking a lot from Mario World more so than New Super Mario Brothers for the DS did, and I was pretty much right.
Yes. And then, so, was it Tuesday night? I had 2 of my friends over, so we were playing 3-player. And it's honestly one of the best multiplayer experiences I've had in a game. I didn't expect it to be that fun. And that's what it is. It's just fun. Like, this, if you want to, like, sit down and beat the game and, like, get through as efficiently as possible, this is not the way to do it. But if you just want to have a good time with your friends, it's awesome.
Yeah, I got, I had 4 people playing. Which was, I mean, you know, we were having fun. Although, some of us were having more fun than others. You know, there's the one person who's... I love the people who get insecure about how good they're doing in a co-op game.
Well, but the brilliant thing is if for whatever reason you're having trouble with this action or anything, all you do is hit the A button, you go into that bubble.
Right.
Which,
right.
I mean, even if you miss a jump and you're about to fall, as long as you can react fast enough and hit the button, the bubble button, you're fine.
Of course, you have to, can't all be in that bubble or else you effectively
well,
die.
Well, and there are times, too, when, like, someone dies and someone's already in a bubble, and, like, so, like, we had cases where two of us are in a bubble, one's still alive. We're like, Brad, do not die. Do not die. Whatever you do, do not die.
Yeah, or don't go in the bubble.
Yes.
It was funny, because, well, like I said, the one person we were playing with was kind of insecure about how good they were doing. It was kind of annoyed whenever we would get in the way, which I thought was hilarious. Then the other person may as well have been playing as a Goomba, because he was just sabotaging us. And it was, I actually thought it was pretty funny, you know, some people were getting upset. Like, there's a moment where all three of us were in bubbles, and he was the only one who wasn't. So he just went in a bubble and restarted the level.
It's weird that they just let you go into the bubble. You think it's just disable the function when you're the only person left.
But I like that, you know, but it's kind of fun, because, you know, he's like, he's trying to throw you into lava, and you have to... When he picks you up, you're like that. You have to shake your Wiimote to get out of it.
That's what I heard someone saying. Like they feel like instead of two Toads, it might have been better if it was like Wario and Waluigi, because then it might have made a little more sense why everyone's trying to work together but also kind of being dicks to each other.
Right. Well, I can kind of see that. But then, what is Wario and Waluigi's incentive for saving the princess?
Money.
What are their motives?
Oh yeah, because the deep story. I like the opening screen. Today is Princess Peach's birthday. Oh, okay.
So, there you go.
What was I about to say, too?
But when you're playing it multiplayer, you definitely don't... You know, you can't be... You're not going to be able to pull off your mad Mario platforming maneuvers as much.
Right. Like I said,
you'll be jumping in people's way, and, you know, you have to improv more.
You can't sit down and play four-player multiplayer with the expectation that we're going to efficiently beat this game.
Right.
You know, it's just, you're just there.
But it's so much fun. You'll be giggling the whole time just by everything you're doing.
And then we actually, the three of us, accidentally found the way to the secret cannon in World 1.
We got that one too, actually.
It was completely by accident. Like, I went to go jump in a little ledge, and my friend Bill jumped under me, which propelled me up. And I was like, oh, I'm stuck on the top here. Well, keep going. I'll just keep walking in case there's anything cool up here. And I, like, went through a warp pipe. I was like, nobody move. Oh my god, the cannon! Then, of course, we're in like World 5. We're like, this is so much harder than World 1.
Yeah, it did jump off
the difficulty curve. Oh, but I tell you, it's an absolute blast.
It's kind of weird because, like, I wasn't looking that much forward to it, but.
When I started seeing like all the like A+ reviews and everything, I was like, oh wow, this sounds like it's actually gonna be really
all
good.
The A+. You mean the one A+ review from the only group that does A+?
No, okay, yeah, the A+ from 1UP and like 9s and 10s. And stuff.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it's just a really good new 2D Mario game. Yeah. I guess like when it was first announced, like I guess I kind of thought it would be sort of gimmicky, like kind of like the Four Swords.
Yeah, that's what I was expecting too. Honestly, the way they kind of emphasized the multiplayer first.
Right, and I'm kind of glad that the multiplayer works, but it's not like. It's not defined. The game's not defined by. Obviously, they're kind of using it as a selling point to market it, which I think is smart. Mm-hmm. But, you know. Plus, it's nice that you can just turn your Wiimote on the side and. Also, you know, shaking your Wiimote to, you know, spin or whatever works.
Oh, the propeller suit is like my new favorite power up.
That's
really
a new. That's
like
a sweet
that.
Power up.
I really like that.
The penguin works pretty good.
I haven't gotten to that yet.
You haven't gotten a penguin? Wait, you haven't gotten to World 3?
Because I played the single player by myself. I'm halfway through World 2, and then we played the multiplayer, and we went right to World 5.
See, me and Chris are just playing, so mostly I'm playing two players, and we got to World 5, no skipping or stuff. Right. That's where we're at right now. Okay, tell me about Assassin's Creed 2, then.
Okay,
you didn't beat Assassin's Creed 1.
I did not, but I know the ending and everything, and they catch you up, too, at the beginning of this game.
Well, don't tell me anything, because I really don't know much of... Don't tell me any of the plot Desmond-wise, I guess is what I'm saying.
Okay. You know, it obviously starts with him, I'll say that, before you get into the Ezio stuff in Renaissance Italy. So first of all, like, unlike the first game, I could comment on this a little better because I've been to Florence. They nailed the feeling of Florence. It's not like an exact one-to-one representation of the city. Like, one thing I noticed is outside Il Duomo, which is the huge church that you can always see in Florence, there should be a building that's about 1,000 years old called the Baptistry that's just, like, not there. So for me, that's, like, kind of awkward because I know where that should be, but there's just, like, some houses. But, like, you know, aside from stuff like that, I mean, the feel of the city is nailed down. And the really big landmarks they have Il Duomo, Brunelleschi's Bell Tower. They have Santa Croce and the Piazza del Signoria.
Oh, yeah, all those famous places.
That's where the David statue is.
I don't know anything. What do you want?
Well, that's where its original spot was. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, that's all really cool. The city feels fantastic. It's fun to run around through it. The story in this game so far is really good. I feel like the game as a whole, it's like it's more directed, but it's not. In that, it makes it a little clear-cut, like, what to do. Whereas, you know, the first Assassin's Creed is kind of like, you have to kill these nine guys, just do it. So it was a little kind of vague. This one is like, the story objectives go pretty linearly. It's like, go to this place, now you did that, go to this place, okay, good, keep going.
See, I kind of like that.
Yeah, but then along the way, you can stop and go do, like, courier missions and... Or just run around and look for feathers, which is kind of the replacement for the flag. Stuff like that.
Right.
So for that, it works really well. Then there's also... You can find these hidden, like, symbols within the city that were placed there by the last guy who used the Animus. And you're unlocking some secret. I don't know what it is yet. Like, the truth he keeps talking about. So that's cool. The game looks gorgeous. Except Assassin's Creed, that engine, it's weird about faces. Some faces look pretty good, and some of them look just weird. Like, really weird.
Right.
I mean, on the whole, very pretty-looking game.
Is it pretty much, like, the gameplay-wise, like, jumping from buildings, does it pretty much feel a lot like Assassin's Creed 1?
Yeah, except they've streamlined some of the animation. Like, you climb up buildings a lot more quickly, it feels like. Because they realized it wasn't, like, hard. And it's just, like, you just had to wait longer. So they do that. Things like sneaking around, like blending into the crowd, are done a little more organically. It's not like you just tap the button and like step inside in the middle of a bunch of scholars and like kind of automatically walk with them. You can go into any cluster of like two or three people, and as long as you stay within that group, there's like a little kind of ring that's drawn around. As long as you stay within that, you're kind of invisible because you're just in the crowd.
Right.
They also have shoot, what was I just about to say? Oh, the combat. Like, I don't know, just something about it feels a little different. Like, they've tweaked it a bit. It's not much, but it feels better. Like, I just
Wait,
like
what,
it
what feels better?
The combat. The game?
What is different?
Is it... I didn't get too deep into combat, really, in Assassin's Creed 1, because I just did a lot of running around the city finding flags, ultimately. But it just has a good flow to it. I just like it. I don't know how else to describe it. It's just one of those things that I can't quite put my finger on, but it's good.
Have you found Leonardo yet?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Is he cool?
He's a great character in the game. I mean, they play him off this very, very eccentric, nice guy who really just wants to help you out. And he's kind of too smart for his own good a little bit, you know?
Right.
Like, he's got so many ideas rolling around his head that he can't focus on anything, which is how Leonardo was. He left a lot of things unfinished because he got bored with it because he came up with another thing he wanted to do.
Right.
So, I mean, I think that's a great characterization. There's also a really... I don't want to say exactly what it is, but there's a great Mario reference in the game.
That's what I heard.
You know, Super Mario Brothers reference.
Nice.
People who have seen it will know exactly what I'm talking about. It's really funny.
Yeah. I'm pretty interested to play the game. I just...
Yeah, I think it's really, really good. I really like it.
I'm going to... Every review, though, they have to bring up about how Assassin's Creed 1 was pretty good, but there was no game there. I take exception to that. I think Assassin's Creed... I guess the only thing you could say bad about Assassin's Creed 1 was that it wasn't fantastic. I still enjoyed it immensely.
Right. Well, I mean, you know, it takes the technology foundation that they got pretty good on Assassin's Creed 1. Just helps to flesh out the gameplay a bit more. So it is more than just vague assassination missions along with the same three mission types repeated over
right.
and over.
I mean, I'll admit it got a little repetitive. I feel like people get a little too bogged down. I feel like people get as much too bogged down on that as they do... a boss in Bioshock, for instance.
Right.
So people find these things. Anyways. But yeah, I'm pretty interested to try it out.
Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, I've only been in Florence. There's still like other cities. I mean, if this game just took place in Florence.
Oh, there's more cities? Like,
yeah,
if
it just took place in Florence, I feel like that's pretty big. And you know, I think that you go to Venice.
So is it more, it's more like you're done with one city, then you move on to the next, as opposed to Assassin's Creed
one,
where you were going back and forth a lot?
No, you can go back, but they got rid of the whole overworld. You just
kind of
go.
That overworld was kind of unnecessary.
Well, the problem with that overworld was somehow going by slowly with your head down was not suspicious, but just riding your horse at a gallop instantly flagged you as an assassin.
Right.
Which makes no sense. And that's another thing, like, They got rid of the whole walk slow so as not to draw attention. So instead, hitting the A button is a faster walk. Because it's like, yeah, you're just walking around. Like, why is that suspicious? Right. If you see a guy who's like, don't look at me, don't look at me, like walking around with his head down, like, that's suspicious.
No eye contact, no eye contact, no
yeah,
eye
exactly.
contact.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, basically, it's a textbook example of the sequel where they took all the complaints from the first game and fixed them.
That's good.
So, yeah.
Did you play anything else?
I did get the trial for Gyromancer.
I just downloaded that. I didn't play it yet.
I don't know. I want to like that game, but it's just... Like, Puzzle Quest was cool because it took the concept of Bejeweled and really shook it up a bit with the RPG element. This just kind of feels like a reskinned Bejeweled twist. It's
really?
Kind of lacking that which kind of differentiates it from Bejeweled twist, aside from the fact that there's pictures of monsters on the side of the screen. Every so often, a special gem that is like your attack pops up.
Hmm.
I think part of the problem is the fact that you don't take turns with your enemy. It's just you. And for every time you move something, that causes their attack meter to fill up. So it doesn't feel as careful, I guess, is the way I want to put it. Like, the only time you really have to worry is when their meter does fill, then one of the gems on screen becomes an enemy attack gem, and if you don't destroy it within however many turns, then they do an attack on you. So it's not very challenging.
Right.
You know? I don't know. I guess I want to like it.
Well, I'll have to try it.
I just don't think I do.
That's a problem. Anything else you play?
I think that's it for me.
All right, let's do the releases then.
Okay. So, on WiiWare, we have Pokemon Rumble.
What is that, anyways?
I don't know.
Okay, move on.
I just like in the press release, it's like Pokemon toys referred to as Pokemon. It's like, why not just make them Pokemon?
It's like the first Smash Bros. Where they're all dolls.
Yeah. They released a bunch of demos for the first time on Wii. We're not going to go list them, but it's just, you know, welcome to 2005. Thank you.
Yeah.
Virtual Console of Indiana Jones' Greatest Adventures.
That's pretty much like Super Star Wars, but with Indiana Jones.
Yeah. We also have the TurboGrafx-16 version of Street Fighter II Championship Edition.
Interesting.
The DSi, we got Art Style DigiDrive, Arcade Bowling, and Robot Rescue.
Isn't DigiDrive something that Digimon did?
Maybe. You know, when you see a game like Arcade Bowling and Robot Rescue, you're almost sad that these are downloadable titles, because you just wonder what the box art for that would have looked like.
Oh, man.
Xbox Live Arcade got the ever-popular Diner Dash and the aforementioned Gyromancer, along with a new Xbox original, the well-received racing game Dirt. I'm looking real quick to see if they've put up the PSN releases, and it doesn't look like it. Again, if it's anything big, we'll announce it. Last week was nothing. I think Braid came out last week. That was the big thing. Good old games. Beyond Divinity, the sequel to Divine Divinity, and the Creatures series. Creatures, the Albion Years, Creatures Village, and Creatures Exodus.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's all I gotta say. Alright, we ready for the real releases?
Indeed.
Here's what came out. Assassin's Creed 2 for PS3 and 360.
PC version came out too, I think.
I don't think it did come out yet. I think that's... We have to wait a little bit longer.
Oh, really?
That's yeah. Awesome. Left 4 Dead 2 for PC, 360.
Mm-hmm.
Assassin's Creed Bloodlines for the PSP.
Ooh, with a 5.5 from GameSpot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Resident Evil, The Dark Side Chronicles. More light gun fun. New Super Mario's Wii for the Wii. You can believe it.
God, I also like, real quick, I like it when you do the Wii Splash screen for that game.
Oh, it's, I always like Wii Splash screens.
It's
always
just,
good.
It's because, you know, it's New Super Mario Bros. Wii, so it's Mario going, New Super Mario Brothers Wii! And I'm like, oh, I see what they did there.
Right, right. God of War Collection for the PS3.
Yeah. A friend of mine got that, and he played the God of War 3 demo, and he seemed to like it very, very
Oh, that's
much.
Right, that has a God of War 3 demo, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm on the fence if I want to rush out and get this. I just feel like I have too much to play right now.
You didn't beat God of War
1
or
2,
so you have more incentive.
Yeah, exactly. The only one I've beaten was the PSP one.
The Sims 3 World Adventures, so expansion. Little Big Planet for the PSP. Now, is this more just like a kind of a straight-up platforming game?
I thought I was going to say port. I think so. I know it's like the single-player stuff is all new and, you know, everything, so...
Hmm. I kind of want to try that out sometime. Tony Hawk Ride for the PS3, Wii, and I imagine 360, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Assassin's Creed 2 Discovery for the DS. I'm sure that's great. F1 2009 for the PSP. NCAA Basketball 10 for the PS3 and 360. Then Lego Indiana Jones 2 The Adventure Continues for 360, Wii, PSP, PS3, DS, and PC.
That Call of Duty World of War Zombies is an iPhone game.
Oh, okay.
It has two-player Bluetooth and four-player Wi-Fi. It's the zombie mode from World at War.
I don't get this Indiana Jones 2.
People seem to like it so far.
We like the first one.
Yeah.
It's just kind of weird how they're doing those movies again.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, that's it. Unless you have anything you want to add.
The Star Trek Blu-ray suite.
Yep. All right, then. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us more at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com or at squadronshame.com. You can also follow us at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.